Welcome back to another episode of Vanguard Radio. I'm your host, J. Richard Jones, and it's a pleasure to be with you today. Today we have a very special guest joining us, Rick Fawcett, Vice President of Operations with ADCA. Now, you're probably familiar with ADCA. They're involved with advanced design technology solutions, and they serve the defense, the security, and public safety markets. They're sort of one-stop shopping, if you will, for cyber, electronic, and physical solutions. But there's so much more than just that. They contribute to innovation, to jobs, and to economic growth right across Canada. I'm quite pleased to welcome Rick back to Vanguard Radio. Welcome back.
It's great to be back, Arne.
So, you know, the title I think we've selected for this program is We Deliver for Canada. What do you mean by that, Rick?
So, yeah, a little bit different take from what I usually talk about here, but focus on, where we see the Canadian Armed Forces today, and I'll talk about the CAF, but it extends into all the other security groups, security organizations that are defending Canada right now. And that's where we focus. You know, CAF continues to be our biggest customer, but we do support all or many other security organizations. And it doesn't take anyone long to realize that the world is getting more complicated and less secure every day. You just look at what's going on in Europe today. You look at pandemics, climate brought issues that come out of climate change. Organizations like D&D or the CAF are being asked to do more and more. At the same time, we're also well aware of the recruiting challenges that certainly the CAF has. But I think you're starting to see other security organizations talk about the security challenge or recruiting challenges they have. So we see that we can play a very important role. So I'll talk we generically as industry, but certainly us as ADCA, in helping the CAF and other security organizations deliver on their mandates, and not from the actual delivery of security services, but all that background work, in our case on the engineering side, the program management side, to help them free up resources to go do their frontline work, and at the same time keep up with the demands of staffing programs in particular, of keeping pace with technology, of maintaining the systems that they've fielded. Roles that traditionally were done by the organizations themselves are more and more being handed over to companies like us and many others in the industry to free up members to go do those frontline jobs. So that's now, we play that critical role as industry in delivering the security services for our country. So that's the idea of the title of the article, of the podcast. It's just, an evolution of where we've been.
Well, you guys have a very clear social mandate. And it's interesting, as you were talking on some of the challenges with industry, like obviously there's a transitioning going on, and the recruitment issue and the training issue are top. In fact, I did a series on that recently on digital natives. I mean, how do you get the good people? How do you offer the type of opportunities that make people want to stay? But let's maybe just focus in on what is your social mandate, if you had to define it in a couple of statements.
Yeah, so that's a very interesting unique part of ADCA. So many people may not be aware, but ADCA was acquired by Commissioners Group Ottawa a little over a year ago. And I think most people understand that the commissioners have a social mandate to support veterans and their families. And we have now inherited that mandate. So we were always a veteran-friendly organization. One of the advantages that ADCA has developed over the years is we have attracted veterans, so we can bring veterans and put them back into service, if you like. And why that's important is, especially within the military or CAF context, it's not just technology. It's technology used in a very unique way. So by providing veterans back in to support the department, they already walk in understanding the operational implications of the equipment they're working on, the systems they're working on. They understand the culture. They understand the working behaviors. So they're able to contribute much more than someone from outside would be able to do. And they basically enter running. So we've always had that veteran focus. and we've always, you know, prided ourselves in being able to provide veterans to our customers, to the CAF. In fact, about one quarter of my workforce is veterans. So that gives a huge capacity. We now pair that with the Commissioner social mandate. So that means, you know, further enhances our reach into veterans. So the commissioners had the mandate to provide meaningful employment to veterans. We already were doing that, so there's a natural fit. But the really interesting part of the mandate is to give back to veterans. And so the money that we make as a business ultimately goes back into veterans' issues. Now, we're new at this, so we're just coming through our first fiscal year. But our vision is, as we move forward and we finalize our books, hopefully there's money, and we will reinvest that money into veterans' issues. Things like Pearly Rideau Vets. And I picked that because it's a lot of work is done by the commissioners there. But there's a number of veterans' issues that require funding. Homelessness is an area that I personally would like to see us focused on. But there's any number, veterans' health, where we can now put our resources that we have at the end of the year back into these types of affairs. So that's what really is unique about us compared to any other company. Our ownership at the end of the day is veterans and veterans' issues, veterans' needs. So that's how I see our social mandate, it's at the front end and then at the back end of the business.
That's fantastic. And, you know, I've had a lot of conversations with Caleb Walker from With You With Me.
Yep.
About retraining and opportunities for veterans, because there are needs within government, you know, for positions to be filled. And quite often, the training and the experience that a veteran has had, you know, with just a bit of fine tuning, they're able to adapt to these positions and do a great job. So it's really like a resource tool as well. I'm curious, are you working with partners like Wounded Warriors Canada, for instance, as well? Or who are some of the partners that you're involved with?
So the partners that we've been reaching out to are more on the intake side. So to help bring in veterans, and you mentioned retraining. Historically, we've relied on veterans come in with the training that they already, you know, they have from their forces experience. And that's what we're offering back to our customers. You know, programs like With You With Me focus on a different group, but we're not totally excluded from that group, where you take veterans and then you retrain them. That's certainly an area that we look at as we look at doing different types of programs for the military that we could retrain. At the end of the day, there is holes in the workforce everywhere. You know, your articles and your podcasts have covered that, and so we need to be looking everywhere for how to fill those. And by bringing in a veteran who, you know, it doesn't matter what they did in the military, retrain them, and there's With You With Me, but there's other groups that retrain as well. They come in and, you know, you take programming. They want to become a coder. Someone who understands what they're coding is naturally more able to do the job. And so you mm-hmm. give them the skills, that sort of that hard technical skills, and then they bring in 5, 10, 15, 20 years of experience into that. It's a win-win. It's a great for the veterans. It's great for the armed forces because now they're getting that much of a better product than they would have otherwise. And that's not to say the other, you know, kids coming out of college and everything aren't important, but this is just one more aspect to make that workforce that much more powerful.
No, that's a great point. And each of these areas or people involved are just one spoke in the wheel that's helping the wheel to turn. I'd be curious, I know it's early days, but can you share any success stories that you've had?
So it is early days. So our success, or what our focus right now is communicating the social mandate, the social responsibility. And everyone I tell just goes, wow. And I'll be honest, we haven't totally figured out what to do with it, how to get it out there. But what we've found is that it resonates extremely well internally. And not just for veterans, but for everybody, because it's social responsibility is a big part of our culture. And so to be part of that gives them a real sense of, you know, gives our employees and people that work with us a sense of purpose. we're now expanding that because through, you know, being involved in expanding our social mandate, working with different veterans groups, we now have increased our reach to find people. And like I say, we're coming out of the first year, and now we're going to start figuring out, okay, what is our first project? And like I say, my personal preference is to focus on homelessness. It's a huge issue, and it's important to me because, you know, I led soldiers who are now find themselves in situations for all kinds of reasons. So if we can start addressing that, veterans health has also been a very important area for me, as it is for most veterans because of the unique nature. So there's another area where I would like to see us look at in the future as well. So those would be the two focus areas where we'll look at for this year. But that's where we've gotten to. And is it a success? No, it's we're starting our journey. But I have every reason to believe that, you know, we will start having those, you know, those marketable successes, those explainable successes.
Yeah, no, it sounds like a work in progress. I'd be curious, Rick, what do you think is the one biggest thing when what's the biggest challenge or that we need to be aware of when military personnel are transitioning out of service?
Man, there's a lot of challenges. But I would say the single biggest challenge, you know, again, speaking from my own experience and, you know, literally the hundreds of people that I've talked to transitioning, is most veterans have no idea of the skills they bring to industry. So helping veterans understand what they actually bring, you know, we'll take leadership. Obviously, the military is big on leadership. And they go, I do leadership. But what does that mean? How do you explain that to someone, what you've done? And it doesn't take long to get in, you know, if you can get them into a discussion, because veterans by our nature don't necessarily brag about what we've done and talk openly about things we may have done. But the leadership experiences are just unbelievable. So to get them to be able to express that so someone hiring understands what it is. Getting their qualifications that they've gained through the military, even technical qualifications, to be recognized in a civilian world. And believe it or not, that's even a problem with contracts on D&D. You know, your education requirements tend to be very specific. You know, we talk about a college diploma or a university degree. It doesn't say having, you know, 15 years experience as a radio technician. So helping them make that transition is another big challenge that veterans have. And that would be the two biggest ones. I used to always joke the third biggest challenge a veteran has is figuring out what to wear in the morning. Having done so many years, you know, being told what to wear. I say jokingly, but everyone I talk to goes through a phase like, what the hell do I wear to go to work today? But those, I think, are the biggest challenges that veterans have. You know, understanding that they have a lot to offer and figuring out how to present what they have to offer.
Yeah, really being able to illustrate it so that it translates. It's interesting because on the private sector, we've had a lot of discussions with companies that are changing the way the typical job interview goes now. I mean, people are doing video interviews now, and their resumes are by video. So there are some neat tools out there that help to give a visual anyways. Rick, in terms of contracts, how is the social mandate helping ADCA to work both in the present and the future? What type of impact do you think it's going to have?
So I would like to believe and like to hope that it'll help us really on that industrial technical benefits side, that, you know, we get some recognition for that. We're not there yet. Just the fact that we bring in veterans is a good thing, especially for the defense customer. And, you know, as we expand into other areas, we're trying to do exactly the same thing. Bring in, you know, veterans out of police forces, for example, and, you know, to go back and support different policing organizations. But because we're out there talking about veterans now, we're into veterans groups. It makes it a little bit easier to reach these people. And, you know, we see, you know, even current clients, customers who can say, hey, listen, I really need a retired lieutenant colonel with this experience. The other thing that helps us is when people start asking questions, you know, when they're getting, because they don't know who to talk to, or, you know, those who are transitioning, we find a lot of people get told, go to ADCA or call ADCA, or more likely they get told to call me or call one of, you know, the other, you know, veterans are on the team here. And so that is an example of how we are benefiting already. Forget, you know, getting extra points scoring, whatever, but just the reputation and the knowledge is helping us grow our workforce of those veterans. And that is exactly what our customer is looking for.
Yeah, solid skills, right?
And experience.
Yeah, yeah. Rick, in a few sentences or not, like, I think you've covered a lot of this already, but if you wanted, what would you want a veteran to know about ADCA, or even other people as well, if they're leaving the military, what should they know about ADCA? What's the message you want them to have?
So I used to always, and I still do, you know, put out the image, however it is, that we're a soft spot to land for veterans. So because we have a lot of veterans, our staff, our core staff understand working with veterans. They understand veterans' expectations. They understand kind of the life they've come from. They understand where veterans are within their, you know, if you got 20 years in, they know kind of where you are in your life journey, or if you got 30 years in, and we can help place people that way. Actually, placing veterans is a non-issue. I have lots of vacancies always for veterans. But we also have already in place a number of contracting mechanisms. So people can come to us and say, hey, this is me. Is there a role for me? And, you know, we may have, you know, 10 job positions that each have X qualifications, and they don't fit one of the 10, but because we have the relationship with the customer and the customer understands who we're bringing, we can go, hey, you know, sometimes it's by name. How would you like this guy or this gal to come back? And sometimes, okay, you want this and this, but I can give you something that's kind of in the middle. We'll blend those two together. So that's what we bring, because we have this understanding of the veteran experience, and we understand what our customers want, so we can match those two together.
Certainly makes sense. You've been listening to Vanguard Radio. Our special guest today, Rick Fawcett, Vice President of Operations with ADCA. And we've been talking about delivering for Canada. We've had a great discussion about social mandates and how that contributes in so many areas, both privately and within the military environment. And Rick, I think you're at the C4ISR and Beyond event taking place on January 26th.
Absolutely.
Wonderful opportunity for anybody to meet you and your team.
Yeah, we'll be there.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you.
The views, information, or opinions expressed during the Vanguard Weekly Podcast Series, CGE Weekly Podcast Series, Vanguard Radio Podcast, and CGE Radio Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not represent those of Vanguard or any affiliated media products, their employees, or owners. Vanguard Magazine, Canadian Government Executive Magazine, and its affiliates are not responsible for and do not verify for accuracy any of the information contained in this podcast series. This podcast may not be copied or distributed without express written approval of Promotive Communications, Inc., PCI. You may not edit, modify, or redistribute this podcast without consent from PCI. PCI assumes no liability for activities in connection with this podcast or for use of this podcast with any other website, computer, or playing device.